You can go ahead.
Okay. So this is Debbie. I'm in Seattle, Washington, and my son is almost 10, who brought me to Impact ADHD. And the last 2 weeks, I've been working on creating a supplement regimen for him, which is, I think, working well, and finding a tutor, an executive functioning coach for him, which I've identified a group, and they're hooking me up with somebody today. And I gave my kid about six different books to read, so about ADHD, so he can start to have the language and understanding that we're starting. Yeah, I gave him six. Because they were all ones that were recommended in the feed when I asked,
Oh,
and some
yeah.
of them are really cute. It was the dog ADHD. He actually really enjoyed that one the most because it had enough positive and negative, and it was in a playful way. And
Cool.
then some were really boring, and then he's like, "Oh my God, I couldn't even start that book. It was so boring." And but it was nice because I was able to have him kind of go through some of the books and share with me what he identified with and what he didn't, and just start the conversation in a very gentle way. And I met with this counselor at school, and she's pulled him in to start talking to him about it as well and kind of get a read of him in the classroom and his teachers on board. So I feel like the last couple of weeks I've put in some groundwork, and but no, like, we haven't I haven't done anything specific to move us forward other than lay some structure and support.
I'm going to challenge you a little bit there because I disagree. I think you've done a lot of very specific things, and I think you're approaching this whole process with such a good attitude and with such solid building blocks in place that you've done a lot more than you probably even realize that you've done. So I think that's phenomenal. Will you do me a favor in the group and put your son's responses to the books just so we have some more feedback to kind of share with other people if they get to that point?
Oh, yeah, I can do that. I can go back to that and
Cool. Was
share.
that the
Yes,
Facebook
like
group?
it was the Facebook group.
Awesome. I've been
Yeah.
bad about checking that one. I'll check. Cool. Yeah, definitely share because that's hard. Some kids respond to some things and some don't. So it's always nice to know what worked for one kid because that's usually a good indicator of at least where to start, right? Very cool. So
Yeah.
what have his thoughts been? I know you were concerned about sharing all this stuff with him. How has he been responding?
He's responding fine. He's not taking it with judgment at all. My wife, on the other hand, I'm still soft pedaling and around the subject, and I must say I'm probably still doing a bunch of stuff in covertly until I figure out what how to pull it apart and make it less scary, I guess, for her. And so he, yeah, no, yeah, so he's like, yeah, so I've got this thing, ADHD. He's not daunted by it at all. And he said, even the teacher, when the counselor brought him in, he said, yeah, we played Jenga, and then she asked me a bunch of questions while I was playing, and he just said it very matter-of-factly, and yeah, and I just said, yeah, we're all wired differently. I even said, when you read these, I said, you'll see there's a continuum, and it's not one size fits all. Like, you may be in some of this, and some of this will make no sense at all, or some of it you may still be coming up against. Like you're not even aware of yet. I said, it's just for us to have a conversation so we can start to understand. He's like, all right. So I mean, it was that. So we haven't dug into
Awesome.
it deep enough, I don't think, for him to really say, oh. So yesterday he was having a huge meltdown around his clarinet because of the perfectionist side of it, right? What he hears in his head, it doesn't come out in his lips, and complete meltdown. And so, just trying to stay calm and let him know, like, it takes a lot of practice and there's a long view, that whole conversation. Which is so interesting. So I'm having this conversation with him, and I'm trying to walk him off the cliff, and my wife is on the other, just happened to call at that moment. She's like, music is a, you know, he should just be in his room by himself practicing, because music is a personal, you know, commitment and experience. And I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, all right, you can have that thought. And maybe one day we will get there, because my other son was in his room playing the cello all by himself, mm-hmm. and that's fine. So anyways, I feel such a quandary at times, but I just keep marching forward and hoping that the outcome will outweigh the discourse that I feel.
Yes. No, I think that's all you can do, right? And I love that you recognized where your wife was at, and that you, you know, you just kind of let her have that for a while, because you got to tackle one thing at a time.
Yeah. And secretly, I was going, oh, I wish that was true. Oh, I wish that could be true. Oh, why can't that just be my, you know, like, wouldn't that be amazing? But it's not my reality.
Right. Not for now, anyway.
Yeah, not for now, anyway.
Gretchen, what's going on with you?
I am in Atlanta. I have a 6-year-old son who has autism. I think I was on the call with two of you a couple weeks ago. I just started this. Yeah, in September, and I think this is my third call, and I've been kind of skipping around between groups.
I just like refreshers for everyone, because it's kind of fun to know. Yeah.
This has been really helpful for me so far. I think, you know, I specifically was talking about, like, meal times, and I continue to, like, think about that every day and work on it. And for me, it's been, like, a journey in acceptance. And I think mm-hmm. also like a realization, you know, and I think because my son is high functioning, I'm like, oh, he's good, you know, and like there are things that they do at school and that's awesome. And I'm glad that, you know, they know what to do with him and we talk about it. But I guess in terms of like activities of daily living and things like that, it's never really occurred to me that I need to do things that differently than other people. And I think in fact, like there is quite a bit of like tweaking that needs to be done on my end. And I need to be a lot more deliberate about that. And so, you know, and I'm just sort of like, I don't know why some things work and some things don't work. But I think sometimes I'm like just overlooking the fact that my son has different needs than a lot of people. And I'm not like figuring out how to really work with that very well. Yeah, and getting back to, like, acceptance, I think part of me is always, just like I get bugged by this, and I really do, and I get, like every day I said I let my blood boil over, like, the same thing. And I
over
read
mealtime or over?
Over mealtime specifically, and it's kind of like I'm sort of forced into this situation where I'm like, hey, let's eat a bowl of cereal for, like, an hour. And you know, and it's like he's distracted and, you know, we've taken away all the like external, you know, distractions. And so a couple of things, I just feel like I just got to get to like a place where I'm more accepting of the fact that like he's different and this is hard for him in ways that I don't acknowledge a lot of times. And what runs through my head is like, why can't you be normal? You know, which is just not like productive for anybody.
Helpful.
And it is this feeling. It's funny because you asked me if I felt, well, you didn't ask me, but if someone asked me if I felt like shame about this, I would say no. Like, I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't feel like I do, but I think in these subtle ways, I do. And I'm also like, I'm putting that on him. You know what I mean? And I think that's actually terrible. And so, you know, I'm like, oh, I've got this, you know, part of you that I think is, you know, that I love so dearly. And then there are these things that I want to like fix. And I'm putting that in air quotes, but like, mm-hmm. Right. And so for me, it's been like a great reworking around just like acceptance of like him for who he is and like all pieces of it. Not just the pieces to me that seem easy or mainstream or whatever. And I'm also realizing all the other things that I bring into this. So I'm a single parent, I work full time, and I get all this like, oh my God, this is taking an hour. Like I can hear my cell phone like buzzing with email. Do you know what I mean? But I'm also like, not his problem. Like that's my, you know what I mean? And so I let all this stuff like trigger me. And I, this week has actually been really great. Just been sitting and like going through this and thinking like I'm getting mad. And it's really not because of him. It's because like all of this feels so frustrating to me, but it's just about me dealing with my own stuff. And, you know, I work with a therapist, but that's on my own. But I don't know that I've really pinpointed this and, like, my own, like, day-to-day reactions to things. So it's been really helpful to me so far. And I feel like I'm literally just working on breakfast time. But it's obviously a really, like, part of a much, much bigger picture, which has been awesome.
Yeah. So is that your celebration, that you've been able to identify that acceptance is the area that you need to focus on, and that's made a bit of a difference so far? Or was there something specific happened in the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, no, like specifically yesterday, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting completely, like, I was able to acknowledge that I was getting triggered by other things. And I feel like usually I'd be like, hurry up, you know, and would just start to like snap about things at some point. And at some point I was like, I'm upset because I can see an email come in. I know I need, you know, and I was like, this has nothing to do with him. And I was able just to say, like, it can wait 10 minutes. Like, I don't need to let my blood pressure rise about this. And I am doing this, and I'm taking out a lot, not like on him, just like, you know, I let the whole situation like blow up, and I can really just like be mindful and kind of separate out those pieces and be like, here's the thing I need to do. I can do it later. Like, here's what's going on now. I can focus on you and not like
being fully
explode
present
about the whole situation, which is a big change.
Yeah, it's hard. It really is. No, I applaud you for recognizing it, and I totally get it. I think that that's a challenge for, I mean, even with neurotypical kids, right? I mean, you know, when you work full time and you're the only one that's there, there's always something to be doing, and it's really hard to just be in the moment with your child. So I applaud you for recognizing that. That's awesome. Did either one of you have a chance to look at the reading for today? We're doing Activating the Brain this week, which is, it's really, really awesome when you think about all the things that go into brain activation. It's one of our four critical response areas. Totally fine if you haven't done the reading, because we're going to talk about it anyway. But I just wanted to check and see if either one of you had a chance to take a look at that stuff.
I read the page.
Cool. Is it like just the one page on it? This is October, Activating the Brain. Yeah.
Yep. That's it. Yep. Cool. Awesome. Fabulous. Cool. So before we dive into that piece, let's go back around just real quick and kind of take aim. So, and we can take aim on the same things that we've been talking about, that we've been working on over the past, you know, couple weeks or months, or we can take aim on something different. So take, you know, 30 seconds or so and just kind of do an internal gut check and let me know what's top of mind or what you think you want to take aim on this week. Whenever you're ready.
I, in my take aim, I put keep it simple and focus on, so don't push. So signal plus follow equals guide. That's the way that I put it in my take aim, because I have a tendency to flood the system. And so I'm really working hard not to be triggered by what I'm supposed to be doing by outside sources, and just realize, and so that's my take aim, is, you know, keeping it simple. Keep it simple.
And
keep
when
it
you
simple.
Say,
well, like, you know, the activating the brain and all that, like, you know, so we've got the supplements, I've got all these like structures going, and but if I want to say institutionalize them, like, say, you know, stake a claim, this is what we're doing and this is how we're going to do it for the next month, I feel like I'm still acting a little too premature because I'm still settling into the whole idea. So instead of, you know, again, the thing, so one of the things that's always on the back of my mind is I've yet to have Cooper make a list in the morning of, like, what is his morning routine? And I've done that because I haven't felt like I'm ready to totally support that yet. And so that's the keeping it simple. Like, my gut reaction is, like, I need to sit down with him. I need to talk to him about this. And, you know, he needs to have his own checklist versus me saying, okay, now it's time for this. So my taking aim is just really trying to just be patient with the process. be patient and
sure.
just keep it simple. And even this going through this program with you guys, this I so already want to jump to the end versus just living in the muddle. And I'm just living mm-hmm. in the muddle right now.
Good. Okay. So keeping it simple in all things really is what you're kind of focusing
still
on.
Keep, yeah. On. Being open to Wonderful. What is going to work for him, not what I want to do for him to make it work.
Mm. Awesome.
It's
I
a
love
little
that.
What Gretchen. Yeah, it was a little bit what you were just saying too. I heard Gretchen. It seemed, you know, that idea of recognizing, like, it's not Cooper's problem that I have. I'm a list maker and I'm a, you know, like take action
yep.
person. And so, and I so quickly overwhelm him with my eagerness to fix something that he doesn't even think is broken.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That whole need behind the need. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I
remember
yeah.
when my kids were little, you know, and when I was working full-time in pharmaceuticals, I always had work to do after they went to bed. And I remember laying there with them waiting for them, just like, please go to sleep, please go to sleep so I can get to work. And then at some point realizing, this is messed up, right? I, you know, this is more important than any email I need to send out.
Mm-hmm, but exactly.
Tough. Mm-hmm.
Really tough.
Yeah. Gretchen, what about you?
I'm going to say managing triggers, which feels related to but not exactly the same. And so I feel like before I was working on identifying triggers, and now that feels like I'm able to do that. I still need to continue to do that. And then I feel like the next step is like, what do I do about it? Right. And so, and I don't know if we talk about, you know, what to do to manage it, but you know, just like the idea that, you know, I am in control of this. I am getting triggered by stuff. He is getting triggered by stuff. Like, can I identify that and kind of work on diffusing a situation rather than escalating it, which is often my go-to.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. And let me think. So we can talk. I'm trying to decide which direction I want to go. Because sometimes brain activation can play into managing triggers, and the fact that, you know, if we're trying to get our kids to do something and they're just not in a space where they can do it, then we're going to get triggered, right? And so part of it is like recognizing whether or not they're in, you know, in that place where it's even appropriate or reasonable to expect that they're going to be able to do what we need them to do or what they need to do. And that's that whole activating the brain piece, and that you know, I mean, at the end of the day, ADHD is a brain challenge, right? Everything takes place from a neurologic standpoint, and it's a deficiency or a challenge or a pathway that hasn't developed yet within our kids' brains. So whenever they're facing some sort of struggle or area of opportunity or challenge, it all goes back to the brain, right? And as you guys already know, the ADHD brain does not have a just get it done button. You know, neurotypical people, maybe they don't like doing their taxes or they don't like filing expense reports, but, you know, to some extent they can just sit down and be like, okay, I'm just going to power through this and get it done. For the most part, people with ADHD and particularly kids with ADHD don't have that setting. They don't have that. I'm just going to sit down and power through my math or my whatever, or, you know, pick up my room or whatever it is. It doesn't exist. And in some cases, there have been some recent studies that have come out that show that not forcing, but trying to get a child or even an adult with ADHD to do something that they're not interested in or not good at can actually cause physical pain on some levels. And so it's really interesting to think about that. But there's all kinds of ways that we all activate our own brains, probably without even realizing it. I mean, lots of them are systems and structures. We were talking about supplements and, you know, protein-based snacks. Those are all ways to activate the brain. But also like caffeine, you know, water even can be an activation because it takes our brains back to that caveman brain and lets us know that we're in a place of safety. And so if there's something that we need to be doing and it's a scary thing, sometimes just having some water can activate that piece of us that's needed to kind of help us power through that. What else? You know, stimulant medication is a way to activate the brain. It's a strategy, obviously. What are some other things that we use. Exercise can be a way to activate the brain, taking a nap, you know, diet, meditation, all kinds of different ways to activate the brain. And so whenever our kids are facing a challenge or we're frustrated because they can't seem to, you know, move on to the next level or get through this piece, we have to back up and look and see if we've done a good job in terms of activating their brain or if we've applied the correct strategy to activate the brain. What are some things that you guys do for your kids that, that activates their brain that you know for sure work?
I've always been really, sleep to me is really important. I like love sleep. I need a lot of it. I've been very like protective about my sleep, but also my son's. And so I feel like, you know, I'm not like super rigid about bedtime, but like he pops out of bed at like 6 a.m. And so I'm like, well, gee, counting back, if, you know, that's what's going to happen, then he needs to go to bed at like 8 or 8:30. And if we go to bed at 11, he gets up at 6 a.m, you know? And so,
and he's crazy.
And I get up at 6. Right, right. So, you know, these people are like, oh, my kids sleep out. Nope. And that's, I feel like that's so critical for, you know, both of us, you know, him so he can function and, you know, just like the, you know, emotional reaction. I'm the same way. I mean, it's pretty remarkable when I like, you know, get like 3 or 4 hours of sleep and then I'm a little bit of a mess. We're good about water. I would say, yeah, like snacks and not getting, you know, super hungry, going too long between meals. We do pretty well. Like he's a good eater in terms of like what he eats and, you know, being open-minded to food, and he eats like vegetables and things like that, which is great. Like I've never had a struggle around what we eat. It might take a long time, but it's, you know, like the nutritional value of it is awesome, which is great. I know a lot of people struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I just think like the exercise, and one thing I love about his school is they go outside. It's, you know, it's got good academics, of course, but they go outside like all the time, and the kids are like, you know, they come home and they look like they've been through a battle. But I think that's great, and they get outside and they play and they do like tons of active stuff, which is awesome. And I try to, you know, emulate that when we're home on weekends, just because I enjoy doing stuff outside and, you know, I'm pretty active myself. But yeah, most of those things. If there were anything that I would add, it would be like a little more time for calm, you know, and like I feel like we're like sometimes running from this thing to that thing. And like, you know, it feels like there's a little downtime. And I feel like it's important to just kind of chill out and like let your mind go sometimes.
Yeah.
That's probably the one thing that I would, yeah, like work on a little more.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That's a tough one too, though, because I think, you know, in some kids, and not all kids with ADHD, but you know, we need structure until we don't have structure. And then I remember one summer where we're like, we're just going to do nothing all summer. We're not going to have camps. We're not going to have this. And I know that's not the time frame that you're talking about, but it was really stressful for the kids. It was a surprise to me because they needed at least some routine. They needed that this is what we do next. This is what we do here. And I was surprised by that. And so I agree. I think that you know, we need that space to just kind of be, but there almost needs to be a structure around that too for some families. So just something to keep in the back of your mind.
I have a question around activating the brain. So there's routine, which is the, you know, just making sure they get their sleep and their supplements and their nutrition, you know, like just kind of what's the cadence or the rhythm. And then there's like reaction, how to activate the brain when we're in a reactive mode. So like last night when he was completely melting down over the clarinet, like how to get him to connect back to himself and not be in the full, like how to activate his brain in that moment.
Okay. So unfortunately the answer is you can't.
Okay.
So the goal is to try to prevent the meltdown, or at least, you know, to redirect prior to that point, because once a kid's flooded and triggered, there's really, like, effective parenting doesn't happen. And it's almost impossible for them to calm themselves down in that moment until they get a little bit older or have some more tools around that. And so in that space, all you guys can do is just, you know, have them go to a safe space. I mean, depending on what the meltdown looks like, you know, just that you're done pretty much for the day in terms of the clarinet, or until he's calmed down. And a lot of times we, after you get to a place of what you think is calm, like sometimes we've gone and just gone for walks around the outside of the house, you know, so we're together, but we're not talking, we're not playing the clarinet, we're not talking about the clarinet, not even really thinking about the clarinet, we're just kind of clearing. And sometimes that's helpful, but sometimes it's almost impossible to come back, even if you feel like, or if he thinks he's calm or he's ready to return to it, he may not fully be. And so it's just kind of trial and error, unfortunately, at that point. It could be something to do with setting up the approach or the outlook on the clarinet. When he's getting ready to practice, I mean, is this relatively common that he gets upset?
Well, only in that perfectionist mind of his, when he has an idea of what something's supposed to be, and then when the reality, it doesn't match, he gets very reactive. Yeah, I'd say that. And then on top of it, and you have multiple kids, on top of it, he has a twin brother who doesn't share these. He's definitely explosive in a different way, but he doesn't share these, Cooper's challenges. And so Henry chose the cello, which is an easier instrument to both manage and practice. And but whatever it is, Henry, for some reason, things just come. He's got the mindset of things come easy to me, and they do. And so then I've got so that's a trigger for Cooper as well. That Henry's done already with this practice and knocking at the door going, Cooper, you know, I'm done. I'll be like, oh, get out here. So that sibling, the sibling, I don't know what question I'm answering anymore, but I get managing the sibling rivalry that sits under the perfectionist kind of breakdown that Cooper's having, like what it, and he's only 2 weeks into this clarinet thing. It's not like he's supposed to be good, but he thinks he's supposed to be good. And so that's, I guess, your approach. So I'm trying to talk to him that, you know, it's going to be a long time, but he is so instant. He needs instant reinforcement that he's as good as his. Right, and so so I guess maybe I just need to do more communication around that or let him talk to a lot more musicians that share their, like, you know, I had to practice for a long time before I got good.
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah. And it may be that that musical instrument is not the best cast for him, you know, but it may be, you know, it just kind of depends.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, this is where the co-parenting is a challenge because Anna's a flutist, and so, you know, playing an instrument is really important to her. Right, exactly. And so, like, they're going to all practice together tonight. Harry Potter's important to them, so she's going to get out her flute, and they'll all play. And so, it's very hard co-parenting in some of this stuff.
Yeah. No, I get it. But there's other ways to be musical, too. And I'm not saying that that's where you need to go with this. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, what if he sings? What if he, you know, what if he dances? You know, there's other ways to express musicality other than playing an instrument. So I know you're not quite there yet. But, you know, if that turns out to be something that's really stressful for him, you know, that may be something to just talk about. But, you know, who knows? It could be any series of things. I think the piece that you need to identify first is if it's the perfectionism completely, is there a way to honor that and yet allow him to practice where he doesn't feel challenged or less than? Because that's my guess, is that's the story that he's telling himself in his head. You know, I won't be as good as them on the, you know, no matter what I do, it's not going to work out kind of thing. And so, you know, kind of getting to the bottom of what's behind the perfectionism other than the ADHD
okay.
piece might help.
And is that a trait of ADHD?
Perfectionism, yes.
It is. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We see it a lot, too, with older kids. And that's when it gets even more frustrating because it looks like lack of motivation or, you know, extreme procrastination. And really what it is an inability to get started because I'm not going to be able to do it at the level that I want to do it. That's that perfectionism
right.
piece. But it's also activation, right? Because, I mean, like even getting out of bed in the morning requires action. And so unless we're activated to do something, some people use procrastination as a strategy. You know, they do really well in that last minute burst of stress and they get stuff done. It may not be the healthiest or the easiest to watch from a parenting perspective, but it is a strategy that works and it is activating the brain because they kind of reach that sweet spot of stress and get it done regardless. So we try to work on, you know, it's good enough, you know, okay, maybe you're not going to be able to do it, you know, to this level, but this level is, you know, like a 95%. And so the majority of the world is okay with that. And it's okay to be okay with that for now. And so some of it's working on that.
Okay,
Gretchen, what's coming up for you?
Know.
Yeah. Did we lose you, Gretch?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking about what Debbie was saying. Like, I am already, I know my son is a little bit younger, but yeah, seeing a lot of the same or similar perfectionist tendencies. And, you know, his school has pointed it out too. And, you know, we've been kind of working on it with them and with him.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like he doesn't want to try stuff if he thinks it seems too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he gets really like self flagellating, I guess, if things, you know, aren't going well or if he makes a mistake, you know, even if it's totally fine. So,
yeah.
Something we're and all working
on. The autism
piece
is interesting
there.
Yeah. Yeah. So the autism piece, I see that a lot with my son that has high functioning autism also. And it is, it's more about control, I think, in that one too. It is somewhat the perfectionism, but it's also about this is the rule, right? And this is the way it's supposed to be done and sort of that inability to stray from that. I remember, you know, first, second grade, like in their little school play or, you know, class play or whatever, and Theo would, you could just see from the audience, and it was heartbreaking to watch, and it was so sweet the way this little girl handled it. You know, the teacher at some point must have said, you're supposed to stand here, and she may have been like, you know, two steps to the left. And so Thea would just kind of edge her back over to wherever this, you know, spot was that he thought she was supposed to be at, because that's where the teacher wanted her to be.
Oh, yeah.
And I see that a lot in his interpretation of things too. Like this is the rule, you know, this is how we do it. And then if there's been a variation from the rule at any point along the way, if the teacher said, okay, today you don't have to put this in your folder, then that's stressful, you know. Okay, so does this one need to go in the folder? Is the rule going to change? And so that's that autism piece too. And so you kind of have that double whammy, unfortunately, in that there's going to be a perfectionism piece, but there's also this part of his brain that's like, this is the way it has to be, and I can't deviate from this. And so
I can see that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Another layer in there, which again is another reminder for us that, you know, our kids do have special needs, and it's challenging to face that sometimes, and it's hard to think of our kids as having disabilities. But if you are able to flip it, it makes it easier from a parenting perspective to be like, he just can't do it. You know, it's not that he won't, he just can't do it yet. You know, and continuing to expect him to do so, or, you know, to jump into this when his brain isn't activated to take it on is just going to be an exercise in catastrophe for everyone at this point. And so you get to be a little more flexible, I guess, along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And on the same issue. Like there are things, like there was like this rock climbing wall at the zoo, and I just like, I thought it was for older kids. He was like the youngest kid there, and I said that, I'm like, you know, this is like, you can try it, you're welcome to try it. I said, you know, I think it might be for bigger kids, it might be really hard. Like, go for it, you know. And he got really upset because he couldn't do it, you know. And he was like, you know, made it to the first part and then was like, I want to come off, but then did this thing where he was like, I'm terrible, I can't do things, like, da-da. You know what? I was like, so hard on himself. Yeah, and I was like, there are 8-year-olds that can't do this, you know? Like, it's fine. And like, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, I try to talk him down from it, but this, like, tendency to, like, be so hard on himself is, it's kind of sad to watch.
Yeah.
It's so sad to watch. It's so hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, some people use, those like social stories, basically, like here's what's expected, you know, here's what will probably happen, or here's what happens with most people. So this is the, you know, and it's hard, you know, in every situation to remember to do that, or to even have something in place, you know, to say, but
I've never heard that before. Yeah. I've never heard social story before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put a link on. You can just Google it, too. Michelle Garcia Winter has a lot of good ones. And it's basically just, you know, the only example that's coming to mind for me, and it's not a very good one, is like going into the grocery store with either younger kids or a kid with ADHD or a kid with autism who doesn't, not that they don't know what to expect, but it's hard to, I guess, visualize or imagine in their mind's eye. So you just basically have, you know, pictures of here we are sitting in the cart, or here we are walking through the store, and here's, you know, here's what we're doing, and here's how this person is behaving, and just having a conversation about what it's going to look like. But like, we've done the same thing with soccer practice before, and soccer didn't turn out to be, you know, team sports are challenging for some, well, at least for our son with autism. And to some extent for our kids with ADHD, just because they keep getting hurt. But, you know, once he knew these are the rules, this is what the ref is going to say, this is what the kid is going to do, you know, this is why you're wearing these things on your shins, and kind of walking him through what to expect. But like I said, it's not something that necessarily is available or that you can come up with kind of in the heat of the moment if you're at the zoo and something looks like fun to do, or you're, you know, wherever you are. But the more we can level set expectations, I guess, and then make sure their brains are activated in a way that's engaging and not necessarily in a way that's going to lead to a meltdown, that can be helpful. But again, you know, you can do all those things right or quote unquote right and still have meltdowns, you know, and still miss the mark. And that's because, you know, we don't always know what's going on there. And that's when we have to take that big step back and kind of look at all the different ways that our kids engage and try to figure out what's going on in their brain at that point, play detective a little bit, because, you know, as we talked about this a couple of weeks ago too, there's lots of different ways to activate the brain, and there's lots of different structures and solutions and strategies to use. But if it's not the one that's going to work the best for your kids, there's no point in trying it.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
That's interesting stuff. Let's see. Okay, so we got 20 minutes left. Good. Okay. I always think it's interesting to kind of track activation. Like, you guys are probably aware of your own kind of daily cycles or 24-hour cycle. You know I need to snack at 10 o'clock in the morning. I always have, you know, I eat breakfast, and at 10 I'm hungry again, so I always have to have a snack. And then at 2 I'm tired and so I have more coffee. Sometimes I take a power nap if I can. But I think it's interesting to see the cycles within our kids as well. And usually if a new challenge comes up, if you kind of take a step back and look at the cycle or where they are or what they're doing, it gets easier to identify what's happening in their brain at that time. And it's easier to figure out what the best path forward is. We have a son that just, once the medication wears off, he's done. We just don't even try to do homework if for whatever reason he gets home after 4 or 5. We just do it in the morning and then it gets done because there's just no way to re-engage his brain at that point unless it's something fun. But, you know, if it's math or if he's got to write an essay or whatever, we wait till the next morning. And so over time, you guys will see those routines, I guess, or cycles come about in your kids too.
I think I might be starting to see that because there seems to be, like, every night, like, a five-minute release valve of, you know, like, he just needs to get it out.
Yeah.
Whatever he's been holding on to, and then we can move mm-hmm. on. And so maybe instead of me trying to forestall it, I just try to, you know, figure out when it's going to happen, let him have it, and then move on. I think I try to forestall it.
So is it like a meltdown or just like an emotion explosion or is it just a running around?
It could be an emotional explosion. Yeah. You mm-hmm. know, he'll just, it'll just be, and he'll yell at me and I'll look at him. I'm like, why are you yelling at me? Like, don't yell at me. And he just can't stop his voice from escalating. Like it just goes. And,
yeah.
And then I'll have to say, you know, look at me. Like, you know, you're yelling at me. I know. Okay. And I realized, like, he just kind of, like, almost, like, just needs to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it triggers me. So what happens, and, of course, I get mad. I'm starting to get less mad. I'm starting to recognize it. But as soon as he, like, gets triggered and yells at me, I'm like, oh, my God, what did I do?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know that feeling. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, and there is there's release in anger. I mean, there's release in yelling, and that's why it's, you know, so many people go to it because you feel better after you yell, you know, even though it's not the healthiest and the other person doesn't feel better, but there is an energy that's expended in it. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering, I'm wondering if the supplements wear off and I should be doing maybe supplements twice a day and not like just in the morning. I mean, that's something.
Maybe.
I guess I could talk to his naturopath doctor about that. Like, we started him on, it's called Neurolink by BrainMD, Dr. Amon,
mm-hmm.
just to try mm-hmm. it. And that, it does seem to be working, but I wonder if it wears off. And then that's that
tipping
point.
Yeah, that's something to look at.
Okay.
Definitely. A lot of our kids are rapid metabolizers, and so they kind of chew through whatever we put in them. So they need a second dose or a second whatever throughout the day.
Okay.
And so, Gretchen, to answer your earlier question about managing triggers and what to do when triggered, we have a kind of a sequence of actions that we use, and it goes back to that, you know, remove yourself from the situation and wait till you're calm. And then it's about, you know, figuring out what the story is that you're telling yourself in your head. That's why we touch a lot on, you know, are you catastrophizing? What's your fear there? What's going on? And then finding a story that also makes sense, but is more sympathetic or empathetic towards your child or towards yourself. And then coming back together and trying to move forward from that point. So, like, you know, if your child is melting down, and this is a pretty basic example, you know, people get triggered because the kid's yelling, and then you get upset and you yell. And then, you know, if you were to step away, and maybe the story that you're telling yourself in your head is, you know, he's always doing this to me. Why can't he just get this? You know, he's doing this to be a jerk. I know he can do this. He's doing it on purpose or something, you know, to that effect. When in reality, or a different story that's also true, or maybe even more true, is that he just can't do it right now, you know, and he's really scared because he knows that you have this expectation of him, or he feels like there's an expectation on him, and he knows he can't meet it, and he doesn't know what else to do with this big emotion. And it's hard for our kids to name their emotions. I mean, it's unusual for a 6, 10, you know, even a 15-year-old to be able to say, I'm feeling really frustrated or scared or angry. They just don't have, they just feel, you know, they just, maybe it's in their stomachs or maybe it's in their, the way their hands feel or their face or something like that, but they don't know what the name of that emotion is. They just know that their body is reacting in a way that doesn't feel comfortable. And so the only way they know at this age or at this level is to yell and just to get it out in whatever way it comes out of them. And so, you know, for me anyway, once I was able to go, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. That poor kid. You know, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that you felt that way. Or, you know, then I feel terrible for being so hard on him when I realized that, you know, he just can't do it. And that my expectation is not a realistic one. It makes it a lot easier for me to process the meltdowns and to be able to say, okay, yeah, go ahead and go to your room. You need some time to yourself.
Yeah.
Go on and get it. Because when they get to the point where they can at least recognize that they need to remove themselves from a situation, that's huge. And we have to honor that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mistakes that we make, you know, are coming back to the situation too soon, trying to talk about it in the middle of the moment, you know, when you're both upset, never works. You probably know all this stuff already. Yeah. And you know what your triggers are already. So, you know, you're already managing that. You're already aware of that moment when your blood pressure kind of starts to go up. And that's the first major, major step. Once that happens, it's just a matter of getting in the habit of removing yourself until you've calmed down or trying a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
So Debbie, for keeping it simple, mm-hmm. what's a, I want to say an action step you're willing to take, but it's sort of like a non-action step.
I don't know. I wrote down so many great things that you guys were talking about. I'm almost forgot what my goal was. I was like, I've been writing all this stuff down. Like, I love the idea of the social story. So I guess the keeping it simple idea, maybe even stepping into Cooper's shoes and writing a few storyboards, because I love, I'm such a visual, a few storyboards of his day and then talking to him about it, like his approach through that storyboard. Through a kind of a cartoon or something, like, this is how I see your day. How do you see your day? But how do we modify that so that it's your vision, not just my vision? And doing it through that idea of a social story. I mean, that would be a way that I could use that communication back and forth with him.
Sure.
Yeah, so I like that. And then the idea that that rapid metabolizer is interesting, and maybe really I do need to maybe do something twice a day for him.
Mm-hmm.
Or not. Maybe he just does need to get it out instead of me, you know, feeding him a supplement that's going to not let him get it out. Like, just let him get it out.
Maybe he can get it out a different way, though. Maybe it's just running around, you know, or maybe it's taking out some aggressive.
Well, they're actually, you know, still pretty, they're very, unfortunately they do box. In fact, you know, they'll go downstairs and box, and his brother will uppercut him, and I'll be like, oh, I'm like, you know, no uppercut.
Nope. Maybe not boxing with each other. Maybe boxing a tree, a bag or something. That won't trigger him. Nope, we lost you. Oops. Somebody must have dropped her phone. And Gretchen, for you, what's an action step that you're willing to take?
I think the to me, the latter part of the managing triggers, and so I feel like I said this before, but like I feel okay identifying them. I'm okay like removing and waiting and that piece of it. I think the rest of it, like figuring out the story and kind of rewriting the story piece, is what I want to work on. Because I feel like I'm certainly doing a lot of work in my head. But I haven't consciously thought about, like, you know, what, like, I've noticed some of the things that are, like, getting all, you know, I'm getting all triggered by, that they really don't need to be related. And they're not necessarily, like, causal to one another. And I think, I don't know how to say this, but the story I'm telling myself, like, that to me feels really important, because I do think that there's a certain, like, narrative that I'm going through. And then I think the most important piece is just the rewriting of it. Like, what do I want this to look like? And, you know, how can I refocus it in a more positive way? Because I don't know. I think I believe a lot in, like, neural pathways and your, you know, you practice this thing that you get really good at because you do it every single day, you know? And it's kind of like
gratitude.
Adjusting that so that that's not my first response when things go, you know, awry.
Mm-hmm. Like a muscle you train, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think the story is? I'm just curious. Do you, I mean, a lot of times we just kind of default to the way that we were raised. Or it's about fear. And it doesn't have to be either or. It's just those are just the two most common ones. Do you have a sense of what the story is that you're telling yourself?
I don't. Like, I need to, like, be more conscious of it, I think. If I had to guess, then I would like to, you know, just kind of think about it. Because to me, it feels like this very, like, gut reaction.
Sure. You don't have to process it now if it's too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll think about it.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, cool. So you're going to actively kind of focus on identifying that and what that feels like and what a shift might be.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool. And then the other pieces that I want to make sure that you are being kind to yourself and forgiving yourself. Because, you know, we all... This thing is hard, right? And it's we all have said and probably done things in the heat of the moment as parents that we wish we hadn't said or done. And while, you know, we don't want to go back to those places again, we also want to forgive ourselves because we're just human, you know? And until we know how to do better, we can't be better. And so it's this whole progress, not perfection thing. And we also need to model forgiveness for our kids, too. So if they see us forgiving ourselves for making mistakes, they're going to know it's okay to make mistakes and that that doesn't mean that they're bad people. But they just made a mistake.
Right.
Okie doke. All right. What's your key takeaway from today?
Rewriting the story.
All right. Cool. Debbie must have dropped out and not been able to jump back on. So maybe she will share with us later. Okay, anything else that's bugging you or top of mind or that you have questions about or concerns that we can talk about?
I don't think so. I had one administrative thing, and I don't know if that's something we can chat about.
I can
really
forward
quickly.
It to the team.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I had signed up for the I forget what it's called. Not this. It's like
vanity
six.
Tool.
Yes, and this was a couple
vanity
years
tool.
Ago. Yeah, and I honestly never did it. Like I did the first one, and I was like getting divorced and moving. And I never did it.
Yeah.
I talked to somebody on last week's call. I think it was either Elaine or Diane, but I don't remember. I was on the Wednesday call. Like it was basically just me. And she mentioned one of the lessons in there, and I told her I couldn't get access. Like, I was emailing back and forth with the team where I was like, can you reactivate my account? And they said yes. And then it, like the program wasn't loaded. I don't know.
Oh.
But she was like, yeah, cool. We can absolutely hook you up with access. And then I haven't heard anything. And
okay.
I don't know if the best path forward is just to email again. I feel like I spent a long time trying to get that to work. It's a little frustrating. So I don't want to make this your issue if you're, you know, this isn't your thing, but like, I do want to get that and just like the materials and the, and I don't know if they need to set up a new account or do what, but that's kind of my personal administrative issue.
Platform.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. No. So we've been transitioning to a new platform. and so I'm wondering if it just got caught up somewhere in there, but I will make sure they send. So you just need access to Vanity School again, basically.
Yeah. And I had signed up for it like 3 years ago. I mean, it was a while, But they were like, yeah, sure, yeah, we can reactivate that. So I don't get the sense that that's a problem. And if it is, I'd just like to know that rather than trying to pursue, you know, this route where I'm getting access to something.
But I've no, it's not a problem. What's your email address? So. I'm wondering if they have an old email address or something.
I don't think so. It's Gretchen.
Okay.
Dot, mm-hmm. And it's STRIETER@gmail.com.
STR.
Yeah, like S is in Sam, TRIETER@gmail. And it's the same one I get all the, you know, Monday emails and everything.
Oh,
else.
Okay.
So it should be the same.
Okay. I will look into it and we will get it settled one way or the other today, Monday at the latest.
Awesome. That would be great.
Cool. All right. Well, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for your help.
Okay. All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.